Welcome to Conversations from the Heart, the podcast of Moyo Talks and the Heart Center. Good morning and welcome to Conversations from the Heart, the podcast of Moyo Talks and Moyo the Heart Center. My name is Mark Bind and I'm one of your hosts this morning. I'm one of the co-founders of the Moyo platform and I'm also an intuitive energy healer and a teacher and trainer of energy healers. This morning, there are four of us, three other co-hosts joining the conversation. If you guys could please introduce yourselves.
Good morning, all. I'm excited because it's Monday morning. It's a great way to start the week. My name is Cindy Holmes, and I'm looking forward to a beautiful conversation this morning.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Valerie Aronson, and yes, it's Monday morning, and as we share from our hearts, I work as an energy healer, a tutor at the School of Intuition and Healing, but most of all, I work from a heart space, and whatever comes today, may it come from our hearts.
Hi, I'm Jen, and I'm in Victoria in Australia, and it's evening or early evening here. And as always, I'm looking forward to our discussion today from a heart space, which always leaves me invigorated and open for my week.
Thanks, guys. This morning, Jen is going to lead us in our meditation. So over to you, Jen.
Okay, thank you. So everyone, close your eyes. And just in your own time, start to settle and breathe. Take big breaths in all the way and then out. Just breathing in and out. Just as you follow the breath, just start to sink down into your chair. Just feel your shoulders drop. Let your jaw relax. Just release any tension you may have, you feel. Just as you start to drop, feel your feet on the ground. Rest your hands on your knee or where they're comfortable. Just let that breathing follow a natural, gentle rhythm, just in and out. And as we start to drop down further into the breath, just ask that we're protected in this space today. Keep breathing in and out. Really letting go of anything that's sitting there, any worries, any little edges, just for this time. If we just take a wander, just take a small wander this morning, just to our favorite place in nature, wherever that may be. You can follow me if you like. I like to go to a garden. It's a lovely garden. It's beautiful shade and sunshine alike. It's green, trees overhanging. And as I walk into this garden, at the back of this garden, there's a path. I head towards the path. And it's green also, beautiful pathway down to a river. There's a tree by the riverside. And I like to sit here with my back against the tree. Just feel the strength of that tree as it holds me, as I sit and watch the water flowing away. And as any thoughts come, I just throw them into the water and watch them flow away. Just let them go as they come into the water, and they go like a leaf on the water. And just for this time, anything that we may have, thoughts or judgments, anything that exists, just let it flow away. We leave our minds ready to receive anything new. With that, our hearts are open. As we continue to breathe, let our hearts expand. Just keep breathing gently. Just following the water as it flows away. Feeling our back steady and strong with the tree holding us. Just keep breathing in, letting all of that air and all our surrounds heal us and absorb into our breathing and our body as it takes a break. Just gently now standing, we turn back towards the garden, up the pathway, come back into the gorgeous green glade area with the trees and the breeze, their hearts and our minds open, ready to receive. Then as we leave the garden, we give thanks, come back. Feel our feet on the ground again. Bring some movement back into our hands, to our bodies. Just move our necks a little bit side to side. Our jaws. Just bring some movement back in. And then whenever you're ready, you can open your eyes, come back to the room.
Yeah, thanks, Jen. It was a lovely meditation. I was thinking about a place I always go, Newlands Forest, here in Cape Town. That is really just a special place with a lot of beautiful trees and a stream running down nice. The mountain. And there's always a place I go and sit on a tree there, quite high up. I like to get away from the crowds, and then I'll find a place to sit.
I'll go and see that someday.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice place. Yeah, so what were you guys thinking about during the meditation?
That was so beautiful. Yesterday I spent time in one of our beautiful places again here in Cape Town. It's a place that I go and I share with my sister. It's the Vergelegen Wine Farm, and they have the most beautiful garden. And as you took us through, walking through to, before we got to the river, there's a spot there where all the bamboo grows and it overhangs and it's so beautiful, and there's water there as well. But they have the most magnificent camphor trees that arrived a couple of 100 years ago. And you actually can't sit on them because they've cordoned them off to take care of them, but they're magnificent with these massive roots. And as you were talking about the tree, I could feel the strength of those powerful trees that I noticed yesterday. And yeah, I was reflecting on how we can receive strength from nature and the trees, and how we can feel held and supported by those trees. So it felt very powerful for me this morning embodying the strength and the support of the trees. Beautiful. Thank you.
And for me, when I go into, and you said go to your favorite place, for me it's a beautiful place in the Drakensberg, which for those of you who don't know, is just heaven on earth. I mean, it's just the most beautiful place in our country, and it's the most beautiful mountain range. I believe that actually there's a belief that prior to our species incarnating, there was a much higher vibrational species that lived in the area. So you just walk, as you arrive in the Drakensberg, everything changes. I mean, the energy around you changes and you just flip into that energy. It is the most extraordinary place. And there's a beautiful tree and a beautiful river that when I go, and I hadn't been for about 25 years and I went last year, and it's certainly on my agenda to go again soon. In fact, it's the amphitheater is my screensaver. So it's beautiful to go there, to astro travel there today and experience the energy of the Drakensberg. And, you know, our ability to be able to do that, to actually transport our energy to another place and actually be in that place. And that is always been extraordinary for me, that we have the ability to do that. And as I'm speaking, and I guess it might be the conversation we're going to have today, is that that we are able to do that, as we are able to transport our spirit and our energy. And I remember I used to be in a psychic development class when I studied at the College of Psychic Studies in London. And what we used to do is, our class was always on a Monday. So we used to, on a Sunday night, go and meet at a specific place in the world. So, for example, we'd go to Ayers Rock, and we would all meet at Ayers Rock. We would leave at 8 o'clock London time, and we would all astro travel to that place and see if we recognized each other, and we would try and do things outside of that space. And it's just extraordinary that what we're able to do with energy and spirit, with no space and time. So that reminded me today, Jen, when we went there, that actually I can be in the Drakensberg if I want to. You and I can visit each other in Ayers Rock if we want to. And you know, so as humans, and with spirit and with energy, we can do the most extraordinary things. I've always actually wanted to do a day course called Around the World in 8 Hours and go to different places with the class. Anyway, I think I just have a sense of humor this morning, everyone. So I'm not sure what kind of conversation that opens for everyone. But yeah, one day I'll do a workshop Around the World in 8 Hours and we can visit 8 different countries.
Please do. Please do. Fantastic.
Yeah. It really does sound like quite an exciting type of workshop. But what sort of what are the keys to actually doing that sort of astral traveling? Like, if you had to give somebody advice, well, what would you say are the most important steps to do that?
So, funnily enough, the first step would be to make sure you're really grounded, so that you can return safely to your body. And then to just, for me, the whole thing is letting go of your control of space and time. And just letting go of that, because when we are in spirit, we can do almost anything. So we, as long as we are connected to our astral body, we can travel, we can go in remote view, we can do certain things. And for me, the steps are, I am here, I am there, I'm able to. We're so limited with the way that we brought up and the conditioning, you can't do this, you shouldn't do that, don't have imaginary friends, all those things that we are brought up not to believe in are actually not true. We are able to, you know, we don't tell a baby you can't take its first step. So why would we tell it can't go and visit a foreign land or can't see fairies or whatever else? So it's that conditioning that stops it. So it's the openness to be able to do that. And then just to visualize your energy there. And it's the trust. There are no specific steps. There's no, you know, you need to sense in your heart. You need to open your energy. And then you just visualize yourself being in that space. So the once was, I remember the one was at the Taj Mahal where Diana sat on the bench. And just take yourself there. Just as Jen took us in that visualization, you visualize the bench, you visualize the Taj Mahal, and then go and explore, even if you've never been there before. So I'd never been to Ayers Rock before. So I got there and I set the intention. I arrived and then explored. But I need to be honest, astral traveling is not, I prefer being in my own body. So I go and I do what I have to do and I come straight back again because I like being on the ground. I like being in my own body. I don't have an issue with that. So I think it's different for everyone. I don't know if any of you experience astral traveling or remote viewing and how that is for you.
I sort of tend to do it like quite quickly. I don't know, perhaps I can't hold the focus long enough or my mind just races onto the next thing. But for enjoyment, I like to go to the top of Table Mountain. there's obviously like a quite a powerful energy vortex up there that's quite good. And, you know, back to Newlands Forest, I take myself flying through Newlands Forest and up to the top of Table Mountain. But I think I used to do it a lot more when I was young. Like I remember being lost in my imagination as a child, going like all over to all sorts of interesting places. And I kind of wish I could do it to that level of detail again. Perhaps it just takes a bit of practice.
Yeah, that really resonates with me, Mark. When I was young, I think I almost didn't live in the everyday world at all. I walked around daily and it was kind of like it was parallel or periphery to me, my school and my people around me, but I really was in some respects disappeared from it, I think, and I was always somewhere else. And that, you know, physically, I guess, and mentally imagining myself somewhere else and through books and just being somewhere else. And I found it quite easy to just create whole worlds and people and dialogues and things there. And I've done a fair bit of work just with different meditations and things. I guess there's one place that with a group of people that I worked with probably about 15 years ago now, just created this incredible place where I could bring people, and I had, I guess it was like a little, it was kind of like a sweat lodge, but it wasn't really, it was more of a hut then. And I could bring people in there. And I think Cindy actually taught me about 20 years ago, this incredible practice of talking to someone you did. And it has been one of my things that I've used for a year. I still use it, is, you know, really grounding, but actually going and talking to people that I might not even be able to have a dialogue with through whatever reason that may be. And just talking to them with permission, of course, but talking to them in absence of, you know, being able to connect with them or being able to even visit them physically, whether that be through, distance, conflict, or physically not being here on the earth. And that has been incredibly powerful. And so in my little sort of hut there, I would be able to sort of, you know, sit and speak to people. And I find it shifts so much. So that has been an incredible practice, just having that conversation that you might not be able to have otherwise, and how much that does actually connect, and the things that have come from that. And just also, you know, the practice of putting love into those spaces as well, really opening my heart and really, you know, just pouring love into those spaces can shift so much, I've found. Yeah, you did teach me that. I don't know if you obviously don't remember.
I, you know, Jen, thanks for bringing that up. And I find it extraordinary that I used to do that before I really started my spiritual journey, in terms of when I had my dark night of the soul and awakening. And sometimes we forget that even before our dark night of the soul, although we might have been very different or not wearing a spiritual hat on, that actually our essence was spiritual. And that we were. And so that is really reaffirming for me, because today still, one of the things I say to people when they are in conflict for another one, go into your heart and have a higher self conversation. I know the dialogue now. I know what to say or how it works and where the higher self is or whatever. So without knowing that, instinctively, I knew that higher self conversations worked prior to even going on a journey and naming it or what it is or whatever it is. So that's a huge realization, that we actually do things that are natural. And you know, people would say, don't speak to other people, don't speak to dead people. I mean, you know, how did I turn out a medium? Is because I spoke to people's higher selves, and we just have the veil between us, and you can still have that dialogue with that aspect of themselves that lived on the earth. And that can bring so much healing to all of us to have those dialogues, even if someone has passed. I always urge people rather to do it while they're alive, because it's so much easier because of our conditioning. But really, how it is so important that if there is discord with us, with people who have passed, that we still have those conversations and we still heal those regrets and the shame and the guilt, if there is that. And just those passing words and just, something, you know, I always say acknowledge them. If we pass people, if somebody has passed and we think about them, acknowledge them out aloud, sort of, you know, make sure that there's that, oh, wow, remember that or go into that, because it brings peace in our heart, because it let go of those things that stop us moving forward. And part of my journey was being a platform medium. I had no intention of ever being a platform medium. And yet, again, it was just one of those spiritual journeys that came to us and that allowed us to have these conversations with, you know, and I think like conversations like we're having now, we can have conversations with higher selves, we can have spiritual conversations, we can go to other places. And I think while we are very much embodied in this body, we are still energy, we are still spirit. And that's really important that we acknowledge and remember that.
Yeah. Actually do that. Process quite a lot with clients when we start doing some deeper work, and I take them through a guided meditation into quite a sort of like a deep connected state. And very often there's stuff that needs to be discussed with somebody else, a family member or somebody who had hurt them in the past, and it is immensely, immensely healing. And even going back to past life trauma, a lot of people have that ability when they're in that right state and they can have that that dialogue with somebody. And it's amazing, like the shifts that can take place and the information that they can receive. You know, like a lot of people can get good, clear information that is relevant, that's important. And it can really be quite transformative in their healing journey.
Mark, you mentioned something really important there, is that remember when you're having these conversations to listen? Often we want to get our agenda heard. And what we always need to make time is when we have higher self conversations, when we're having a conversation, there will be an answer if you are truly in your heart. And if you are truly in love, there will be, in that space of love, there will be a response. And before Jen, I know, wanted to say something, but the other thing that I really would like to invite people to do, our guides and angels and ancestors are around us consistently. And do you know, if we don't ask for help, they don't get involved. And often when there is conflict, and I'm so glad we're having this conversation, because actually, even I forget sometimes when I'm in conflict or things are difficult, ask your guides to have a chat with their guides and ask them to help the situation of bringing it back to a place of peace and love. We, you know, when there's conflict or difficulty or challenges, we go into our own humanness and our drama, and we forget that there's this help available to us, whatever form it is, the intention of, please help me, asking for help from our, these higher beings. Please have a chat to their higher beings. And that beautiful intention and that place of love already starts to heal the difficulty between you and the difficult between our humanness.
Yeah, it is, and it's such a difficult thing to ask for help too. That it's one of the most difficult things I find to ask for help. And I think that practice of, you know, and I do this often, if there's, you know, something that's just too overwhelming, or I can't figure it out, or you know, it's just it's going to take too much thinking, or there is just no way to think anything out, you know, is really, oh, just please, you know, just take it from me. And that, just that. And when I do that sometimes, and I think, oh, I've been holding on to this and trying to figure it out for so long. And I just, oh gosh, you know, and that instant almost of, oh, you know, that's just, and something always shifts in that. Just that practice of letting go, and you know, and even just and I work with people trying to sort of bring that even into daily life, though, or bring that into being able to then bring that to people, or you know, how then we are able to ask people who are, you know, standing in front of us physically how we might need help, or you know, that something's just too much, or even having dialogue. I do a practice in the physical form, well, not without the people there, but it's called a two, I don't know if you know of it, it's two chair, and it's a gestalt therapy. And so you have different chairs in the room, and people, so you're in a bit of a sort of a little bit of a meditative state. We start with a meditation, and then people actually will go and sit in another chair and then speak to each other. So you speak to someone that you're not able to physically speak to, or, and it's such powerful work, even just to put the words out to, you know, into a space, how much healing can come from that. And then also contemplating that other, you know, what is their position, or have compassion, or open into an understanding of, you know, what might be there for them that hasn't been considered. It's really powerful, you know, and how, you know, I think this is, doing this in an astral plane, but also being able to bring this into a physical space as well. Such a practice of, you know, daily walking, really. So helpful.
Yeah, I think that chair exercise is very useful, because I've done it before, but it's very useful for people who perhaps aren't meditators or struggle to meditate, to get into a state where they can do it like at an astral level. They can't visualize or imagine talking to somebody, you can make it quite physical. Go sit in this chair, and you yourself, and in that chair is, let's say, for example, your father. Now speak to your father, and then swap chairs. And what's amazing is the energy is completely different in each chair. It feels like you're a different person. I don't know if you're familiar with constellations. Have you ever seen or experienced the family constellation? It's another amazing process where you have other people role playing, and they like go and they sort of like a surrogate, or they stand in the place of, let's say, for example, your family, or your mother, or your father, or your siblings, or partner, or whoever else. And they just get a sense of what they feel like doing. So you'll see perhaps there's the person who is playing the role of your father, and that person just almost can't help themselves, but they might do something, for example, like turn their back on you. And then the therapist or the leader will sort of explain it and understand it and try and unpack it. And it's an amazing process of just like having people step into that role like quite physically. So you don't have to do it as a deep meditation on an astral level. Really. And yeah, powerful stuff.
That's very, that is very powerful. And when you do it, when you're talking about families and, you know, there's always such things that are brought forward and, you know, traumas and things that we're not able to process that we, you know, we can step into those other roles or, you know, I do know the family stuff, but there's a similar thing that I did a lot in my training years ago was stepping back into my ancestry as well. So stepping back and through the women, so I did it through my grandmothers being female and identifying with that, with them, and just stepping back through each one. And, you know, so, so powerful. And actually almost feeling my body in their body, like embodying where they were, or, you know, what they had sort of, what they were holding, or, you know, and then just having so much more compassion and understanding even for, say, my own mother coming forward, you know, that I then understood her whole, you know, my whole line of women and what they'd held. It's really powerful sort of ancestral work doing those.
Yeah, I've done that one as well. And perhaps it's something that we could actually take further at the school. You know, the process that I normally use for ancestral healing with clients is a meditative process where they connect with their ancestors at another level. And then they can have these conversations and they can like really receive the information. But not everybody can do it in that way. Some people are more kinesthetic or perhaps they don't have the meditation practice that can hold that state where they can connect on that level. And then this physical process is actually really nice. Step into the energy, feel the energy in your body. What does it feel like? What do you feel like saying, you know? And it can come quite naturally. And you can also take the pressure off, I think. I think it's quite a nice way to just take the pressure off trying to, like some people, as soon as you say like visualize, they go, no, I can't visualize. I can't meditate. I can't, you know, my mind's too busy. And they like freak out. But if you take them through a physical process, they can just feel it, you know. You just like say, well, how are you feeling? And they'll say, well, my chest is suddenly all tight. And it's like, okay, well, let's breathe through that. What do you think it means? What's the emotion in that? And you can really release quite a lot of stuff just going through a physical healing process.
And I think that comes back to us talking about what is available to us spiritually to work with in this human life. And I think, you know, one of the things, and there's been a lot of talk and there've been a lot of conferences and summits really about the ancestral healing that needs to be done. And we often refer to it, you know, I think last week we talked a lot about, you know, how Indigenous people and how we're on the land and how there is memory of spirit and things like that. And I think that we need to be remembering this at a level that there is this trauma that has gone on to us at many different levels. And that ancestral line, I think right now is really, really playing out as we've been jolted into this pandemic and we've been given a good shake as a species. I think one of the things that has come out hugely is this ancestral line and these true authentic lines of behavior are starting to come through. And I think it's showing in you know, in gender-based violence. I think it's showing in race. But the other thing that I've noticed, and I don't know how everyone else is feeling in the practice, but I know certainly at the school, relationships between people are starting to very much in the last sort of month around that relationships are coming to heads. People are either going to stick together and make it, or they're separating at the moment. And I don't know how, but they're just, I just have heard so many people coming forward and talking about this and how, you know, I think you know, 3 months together, day in, day out, 4 months, but now we're sort of getting to 9 months as we go into December of people being forced to being in close spaces and being forced to look at some of the things that could be ignored by moving away from each other or being occupied in different things. And how this is pushing us all as individuals. I don't know why I'm being guided to talk about this all of a sudden, but it certainly is something that for me at this moment in time, that people are starting the white knuckling and holding on. The tension is starting to break. And I don't know if somebody else wants to lead on from that, but
Well, in the last week, I can think of four relationships that are really like you say, two clients that, you know, I can see their relationships with their partners are coming to a head and probably going to end. And then two friends who have split up with their partners. So, you know, I think you're right there. There is something, you know, anything that needs to be cleared or healed, it's really being pushed to the surface now in that field. And then you're speaking about that ancestral healing. An important point, our ancestors are healed through us. So as we learn, as we become more tolerant, as we make peace with other tribes, other races, other religions, our ancestors who are watching us are learning from us. They're learning from our lives because they're watching our lives. And I think, you know, we've seen that at the school, but it's interesting to note, and it's important to remember, like, as we heal our ancestral lines.
Yeah, that really speaks, Mark. And I guess, you know, we were talking last week about, as Cindy said, you know, about separation from land or, you know, Indigenous land. But in some respects, we've all been taken away from somewhere and we've all been, you know, we're colonized or we've come from somewhere. So there's something of being pulled away, taken away or walked away from somewhere else that still sort of sits within us. And, you know, in talking to, you know, with our ancestors and where we heal them. And I also feel that often I feel that, the chitter or the, you know, the chitter chatter, come on, or the encouragement or just that sort of almost like you live as a beacon of hope too sometimes, I think, in this physical body for those unresolved or those things that, you know, with our ancestors are actually were part of their vision or their hope, that we sort of carry visions forward as well, which I feel really powerful at the moment with regard to people, things in relationships coming to a head, I guess. Yeah, I don't know if I've got anything to say to that, but I think part of the nature, and people might not agree, obviously, who are really feeling separated and traumatized by things this year. And I do think that there is a natural flow to everything, that, you know, for anything that feels like it's, I think we've said this before, you know, that it feels like such a negative, horrible thing, that, you know, without anything being shaken up and pulled out, and, you know, that for the shadows to actually emerge, nothing can move forward really anyway. So whether that's in, you know, I guess, say a one-to-one personal relationship or, you know, globally or on a bigger scale, then unless, you know, things are really being shaken up a bit and ripped apart, then I guess nothing has an opportunity to heal and renew if it's not being cracked open and you know, getting to the shadow or the wounds. So, you know, it's not easy, but I guess for some people it's, you know, maybe it is time, or there's, you know, anyway, that's speculative depending on people's personal experience. So yeah, I'm not saying that, you know, that's a great thing for everybody.
As we sit here and we talk about relationships and the wounds, I'm aware of how difficult it is for people at this time to those that are struggling in one-on-one relationships and family, friends, but also how people are struggling with themselves in relation to their self. And that their in the cracking open, there's areas of their lives that are cracking open to themselves, to show it to themselves, and that it is so difficult for some to even just look at it or just touch it. And I just am aware of their deep, deep wounded struggle of how hard it is to actually just open up and let something just show itself. And yeah, and I think in a time like this where there is so much disruption and so much shifting, we as a human being, where we have tools as we've worked with ourselves, are able to navigate our own cracking open and allow ourselves to look within. But there's so many, as I observe in some of my clients, in some of my family members, especially when I think of my own ancestry and my own legacy in my family unit, that there's cracking happening, but they are doing everything, the white knuckling, just to hold it closed because it's just too difficult. And then as I'm an observer of them, like close family members, is how you have to remain holding yourself and that you allow yourself only to support. And as Cindy always comes back and says, not to judge where they're at, but meet them where they're at, because the cracking open just seems too difficult. I observed one of our students on Saturday, in a way, starting to crack open another area in her life and how difficult it was and how she was so desperately trying to hold on, but the body was showing that there's a shadow and a cracking open revealing itself, you know. And yeah, I just thought this is, so within the whole line of our ancestry and our own family legacy, there's so much within our own units of deep, deep wounding that people are not able to look at. And I used to be the Mrs. Fix-It, and now I really, really have to just stay grounded in my heart and just hold and support without trying to rescue or guide or direct in a way that I want it to look like something, where it has to be allowed to unfold in the way that's appropriate for them in their timing.
Yeah, the subject of holding space. Mrs. Sits it out and hold space for them instead of fix it.
Yeah.
Cindy?
As Belle was speaking, and one of the other things that I think is really important, as we call ourselves spiritual facilitators or teachers or whatever we want to name, people who are just, I invite spiritual people also to really look inside and don't spiritually bypass this time, and think that we're here to be with more knowledge, or we are, because there is a temptation, and not honoring our own processes and what is going on for us within our own relationships and within our own ancestral lines, and asking for help around what is going on for each and every one of us, because it is happening and it has been amplified. So I invite everyone to look at the lessons that are being shown to us right now and asking for help. And when we are struggling, please, people, ask your friends, your family, whatever is going on, for help. Because even if you're the one that they come to for help, you need to be reaching your hand out and going through, because I think we're all going through the change. We're all going through, there is uncertainty. Things have changed. And things, I think the realization as we go into this period of times, that things have changed permanently. And what is that permanentness for any of us? And how are we relating to it? And there will be peaks and troughs, and there are times when we'll be receiving it really, really well. And then there are times we're going to go down and struggle and go into the underworld. And going into the underworld right now is a healing thing. It's a beautiful time to look at how we can shift and how we can look at things differently. So when a partner is mirroring something back to you, have a look what it is in you that is being mirrored. Rather than getting annoyed and irritated and frustrated and pissed off, sorry, Mark, and all those things, what is in you? Why are you getting irritated? Why aren't you understanding? And I had a big aha this weekend that my irritation is me. My frustration is me. So those people who are having relationship issues, have a look inside. Yeah, I invite you, without judgment, but with love. I know that sounded a little bit Cindy judging, but it wasn't meant that way. Sorry.
The world is a mirror. And, you know, I think sometimes the holding on is more painful than the letting go. The avoiding or the looking away from that which needs healing causes more pain than actually going into it. You know, you can spend years trying to avoid addressing something, but as soon as you go to start addressing it, it starts healing. The moment you start that process. So I think the difficult thing is going into it, to shine the light on the darkness. Feels scary, but it's actually, once you've done it, you realize, oh, it's not so bad. And then perhaps just having somebody to hold that space for you while you do it, you know, somebody to bounce your thoughts off, somebody to talk it through who isn't going to judge you. Jen?
Oh, yeah. I might have shifted a little bit from what I was going to say before, but there's a couple of points all merging together now. Val, what you said, oh, just incredible. Yes, a reminder of, absolutely, we've all been cracked, you know, it's just been cracked open into ourselves. We've had to, you know, sit with ourselves, be only with ourselves, or, you know, just been forced into isolation, really, in some respects, to only have ourselves to contemplate and think, and that how difficult that can be, how much of a challenge, and the things that will rise. And then Cindy raising another good point, you know, around the mirror, really, and, you know, those edges and those projections, or, you know, what we transfer, and how such a valuable thing to take the experiences that we're having and the feelings that we're having and find those edges within ourselves. You know, I'm frustrated, or I'm feeling, you know, agitated, or I'm feeling sad, or I'm not connected, or, you know, is what am I not connecting with in myself? What am I neglecting? What am I frustrated with inside? What's feeling in here that's frustrated? It's just such a good reminder to keep doing that reflective work, and just, you know, keep visiting our own systems, really. And then Mark saying, you know, within that, you know, holding that space as well, that's where I find, you know, for me, and I know I have a big theme of this and I keep coming back to it, but that sort of circle, or the sphere, and not just like a circle sort of, you keep walking around it like a 2D sort of flat pathway that you walk around, but that it's, you know, it's like a cylinder almost, that you're it's all around, you know, you can be sort of here and then here, but that you're held within this sort of container, really, rather than sort of starting and stopping and starting and stopping on, if that makes sense, you know, that if I think about that sphere, or that and the energy that's in here, it's everyone can be in there as well, and we're not sort of placing ourselves, well, you're here or you're there, or I'm, you know, I'm better, or I'm this or that, you know. It's if we're, and I find that easier to hold each other too, you know. That for me is real community as well, you know, when we're all in that And maybe some of us are upside down at one point, or, you know, this way or that way. But it's not kind of having that view that you're sort of at some peak, and if that makes sense. And I think that, Mark, what you said about, you know, just having people or having someone to hold that space or just hold something for you within that, that's a real beauty for me about, you know, community and having people and being able to ask and reach out and have someone else hold that for you for some time. Such a value in that. I think I went on a bit of a tangent there, but that's okay. I think that's okay too.
You know, Jed, for me, while you were talking about that, just one of the things at the moment, I'm a driver. I'm a like a destination human being. I set an intention and I drive there, and I get, one of my frustrations is when people aren't driving at the same speed or not, and as I do the work I do, and having to wait and be patient, I don't have patience, and waiting and divine timing for me, I need to be honest, is really difficult. And I'm really being showed over and over again through this period of time that it's time for me to wait for divine timing. And it's really, really been difficult for me. And I just need to share that, because I have this side of me that is very commercial, that is very driven, I guess, of what we're breaking away from. And I've always said that I'm a conscious capitalist, and I've always sugarcoated certain behaviors around how I do certain things. And those for me are being challenged. And when I was talking about me being impatient with other people, is, you know, it's the impatience with myself. It's the inability for being part of the river and flowing in divine timing and not pushing against bunkers and whatever, because they're not working. Normally, through pure determination and manifestation, I'm able to break through whatever is standing in front. And right now in the universe, that's not happening. Well, for me, the bunkers seem higher. I can't go under. I'm not able to make tunnels. I have to wait for it naturally to go. And both Val and Mark are smiling at me. very pleased to hear I'm getting the lesson at last, that I'm not going to be pushing everyone along. But yeah, right now at this time, I needed to share that my struggles are within myself, is this allowing this divine timing and being patient with everyone around me, and even patient with myself.
There's a saying, I think it's in A Course in Miracles, infinite patience produces immediate results.
It's great.
Let you guys think about that. But yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I like just going with the flow, but there's very much a time when one does actually need a push or a kick in the pants. And you know, people who are driven do achieve great stuff. And there is a time for it. And I know, because my wife is one of those, and she gets things done. Like, there's no obstacle that cannot be overcome. But it does lead to frustration because, you know, and I think the challenge is knowing when to chill out and just reflect or sit back and allow, and when to give it a push. And I think that is the challenge. You know, as somebody who likes to be in the flow, my challenge is, when should I really give this a harder push rather than staying in the flow? Like, have I come up against an obstacle that needs to be obliterated, or is this an obstacle to let me rest? And how do you know the difference?
Yeah, that's really, Mark. And when you say obliterated, And that some part of that also can feel a little bit like smashing or, you know, hurting yourself or something. And I guess for me, it's when personally, and I wouldn't have said you're a driver, Cindy, you know, just anyway, I've never experienced that. But I really relate to that because I am exactly the same. And sometimes I can be like, you know, I go, oh, what are you, who are you pushing at the moment, you know, with your vision or, but that, I guess for me, when I start to feel like I'm actually hitting my head into a wall where it's kind of no, you know, and being able to stand back then sometimes and there is another approach or something will just dissipate then because I'm not holding so tight or I'm not sort of bashing into this thing. And that is a fine line, just learning, you know, which one to. But I think obliterate for me would be if I even think I have to obliterate something, I feel maybe that it's probably time for me, it would be personally, step back. Because that, you know, that might be some explosion that someone will end up with, you know, something. Yeah.
Collateral damage.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Standing too close.
So I'll give you an example. For me, expressing myself has been a challenge for most of my life. And when I came up against obstacles to self-expression, the tendency was to just hold back and I'll just wait for the flow to take me around this. But the actual solution was to express through the discomforts. So one example is actually when we started this podcast. I mean, you know, we were having a conversation and of course, Cindy being the driver was like, okay, let's do it. And I was like, I can't hold back because Cindy says, yes, I'm going to have to get more comfortable with self-expression. And this is an example of what I call obliterating. It's like going into the fear and just doing it anyway, feel the fear and do it anyway. But I suppose there are other examples where I can't think of any, but where actually the blockage isn't a limiting belief or a fear or something, but it's actually just something that's to be waited out.
Yeah, that makes sense. That well, that's like that stepping past the discomfort as well. Just really, it's like a barrier or something, like breaking the shield or something. Yeah, that's, you wouldn't know that either with the way you've guided and held this space either, you know.
It's been a long journey of getting comfortable with it. But I don't know how any of this actually relates to where we started talking about astral projection, but we seem to have gone in a interesting loop around some interesting subjects, and it is time for us to wrap things up. And this is episode 12 of season 2. So it is our final episode until the new year, because we're going into silly season. Things are going to be very busy and time is going to be short. So we've got lots of time to reflect on everything. Any final closing comments on the season from you guys before we wrap things up?
Well, Mark, first of all, thanks for springing that on us. I think for me, I've really enjoyed this season. I've really enjoyed having these conversations and I have learned a great deal. And what I love is taking them into my week, sharing them with other people and challenging how I think and the ability of listening to everyone's point of view and then learning. I've learned a great deal and I thank our panelists for that time.
Yeah, I just want to say that this has been a platform that I've learned a lot. It's given me a lot of insight. And as Mark said about himself, about sharing and expressing, it allows us to share from a heart space in a way that brings together different ideas and concepts which we might possibly not have thought about as not part of our natural way of being. And the other thing is, I'd like to say, walk gently on the earth and smile to yourself until we meet again.
Beautiful. Thanks, Val. Now, Jen's having a few technical difficulties, so we might have to just patch something in of her saying her farewell. But yeah, I've enjoyed season two. It's been great to have these conversations from the heart. Thank you guys for being on the panel and for being part of the process. And to our audience, we look forward to sharing some more interesting discussions with you next year. All the best.
Discussions, and for me, I was really so scared and went, I loved the idea of it, but when you say, Mark, that you had to really push forward, so many times I've had to push forward with it. And even today, like do the meditation, there was such a part inside of me going, no, you don't want to. You really don't. My heart was beating out of my chest. But then just that, go on, do it. And so really I feel like you really have provided and given me courage in this group. Yeah, I really appreciate that. It's amazing.